place, when it warrants a win place or across the board bet, you should have more on it so to overcome that smaller amount that you lose on the win end. Here's a good example. I'm going to give you several of them here. Take a look at some of the corollaries on report. Trial one. Now, trial happens to be number one. Does very well. We happen to win this race as well as place. But you got to look at trial and his various readouts. And hey, he doesn't warrant a bet. Trial is last on bottom line betting line. He's last in many of the readouts. His balance is eight. Well, his best is, you just wouldn't bet this horse. He has a ranking of six, so you don't get the winner of this race, even though he's in your contenders. However, who is number two on bottom line betting line? The place horse. It's projected at 8-5. So I only bet to win. I know, you know, that's in the long run, I'm going to make more money to bet. So you bet the horse to win. You've got to bet on report. He comes in second. He pays $17.20 and you didn't have a backup bet on him. Well, you paid enough to show to bet him across the board. $9.80 just to show. So I'm standing there with my old friend. And he says, you're right, Howard. That this time you were right. I remember once going to the races with James Quinn, who says, you know, just bet to win is folly to bet to place. At least he did at that time. I don't know what he's saying now. But he had a horse that he had isolated with a lot of brilliance. He was going to pay $54, 20-something to one, 26 to one. And it came in second. We didn't have it at all. We had the winner of the race. That horse had actually won. He had this horse at placed. And so I said, of course you backed him up. Well, a searing look I got. About seven races later, he says, well, in this case, you probably were correct. Well, it isn't just this case, folks. It's virtually every case when you just bet a long-priced horse who has the factors that indicate a winner, who has all those factors, and you don't back it up, you are losing money hand over fist. Look at report. You bet him just to win. He's first in LPR, first in CPR, third in turn time, first in hit and energy, first in factor W, first in factor X, line score first, factor X first, entropy first, second on total speed, and second on total pace potential. Everything pointing to that horse being at least one of your win bets, if not your only one. I guess the other one would be Red MI, who's still running, I guess. So you bet it to win. Sure, it's an obvious win bet. When I say power of place, I'm not talking about having the acumen to be able to determine from energy factors and other things the horse is just going to place. I'm talking about horses that have all the qualities that demand a win bet, but who only place. It's so simple. When they go off at odds like this, folks, you've got to back them up. In this case, you can go across the board. Here's another example. I won't exhaust you with this, but it happens so often. Look at the supplemental readouts on Mighty. This is an obvious bet. He's only fourth on bottom line betting line, but his projected odds are 5-1. In this case, of course, you get slick too, so you get two for the price of one. But look at Mighty on the supplementary readouts. On Mighty, on your primary readouts, he only ranks fifth. Factor X, he's one. But that's the only thing in which he has a real high ranking. He does pretty well on total pace potential. He does well on factor X. But other than that, you probably say, oh, well, that's not enough corollaries on the primary readouts. Now you go to the supplemental readouts and take a look at Mighty. Here's why I'm emphasizing the power of synthesis, the program synthesis, that gives you these supplemental rankings, and that gives you a line score on them. That is the difference between making some money and making a whole lot of money. Look at the horse. Number one X, third best on total speed, third best on pace potential, total pace potential, ranks third on the line score and rankings of the supplementary readouts, number one on fractals early, three late, three normal. When you see what this horse is going to pay, he pays 11 something to place, he would have probably paid 25, 26, 28, $30 to win. So he's probably went up at 15 to 1. Let's see where he's morning lined. Morning lined at 10 to 1. So 1160 is a pretty good place price. In fact, 640 is a show price, is the win price that many that I know of, mainstream handicappers take on a regular basis. So he pays as much to show as a lot of your mainstream experts are taking to win. So you get the same situation, time after time after time. We start off now with some races in which we're going to do an any number of readouts on, kind of our grand finale. We got two races here. This first one is from Aqueduct. It's the fourth race at Aqueduct on the 12th, 28th of 1997. These are the pace lines we used. And here's, and this is the nice thing about this particular, you can put it on any by pressing B, but it's particularly good on the Trackmaster because when you immediately after entering the pace lines and everything, you get to see a bottom line betting line. And you can get some index as to which horses you should get rid of right away. We're looking now at six horses. And we're looking at the primary and secondary readouts of these horses. Now it's pretty obvious that this horse, Nevada, is a top choice. I mean, it's got 24 line scores, projected odds are even. It's going to be the favorite, but still, if you're an exacta player, it's nice to know what the favorite's going to do because you can't necessarily leave the favorite out of an exacta. Take a look at its various supplemental and primary readouts. Take a look at its, something that we haven't talked about too much, go over to the Chaos Power Ranking and Fractals, take a look there. Okay. Here's what we talked about at the beginning of this tape, trying to ascertain who's going to do what from just looking at their fractional components, their incremental velocity components, and their rankings. Nevada starts off third and then becomes second at the third fraction, is first in the second fraction, second at the second call. The horse that's number one in the first fraction, number two in the second fraction, number three in the third fraction, and number one at the second call is horse up on top, Mamai, and it does nothing. Mamai came in fourth, incidentally. When you come to the results, you'll see that. So you really can't tell. Now, what about Song? Song's the one that ultimately wins this race. It starts the race off fourth. That was a 9-furlong race, so maybe it doesn't bother you. It starts fourth. Then it goes to fifth in the second fraction. It's losing ground. The great visual matchup expert's going to tell you, oh, no, that's not good. But then the experts who have told us for the years, the third fraction is unimportant. I've read book after book saying the third fraction is unimportant. It's, in fact, some of our own former teachers wrote that the third fraction was of secondary importance. It's what they did up to them because if they were in the lead, they relaxed in the third fraction. It didn't make any difference anyway. Well, We know now that's not true. At least we who are winning know that it's not true. I hope that you are numbering yourself among that group. But song has the best third fraction, very little in fractions to recommend it, fourth and fifth. And there are only five horses. We got the race down to five horses, so it's last and next to last until that third fraction. Okay. Now, the chaos formula rating, the long shot potential rating, are important. Nevada, of course, ranks first on the chaos rating. The winner, despite those terrible fractions, ranks second on the chaos formula rating. The difference between linear math and chaos math is the difference between a horse ranking fourth and fifth and a horse ranking second when it becomes the ultimate winner. Nevada, of course, on the incremental matchup graph is first. It placed and paid very little, three-something. Song comes out second, though, because we added to the fractions. See, it's fourth and fifth on the fractions. Look, under 1F, it's fourth. Under 2F, it's fifth. But it comes out second on third fraction and total pace. So when you combine the factors that make up that graph, it's ranked second. And it pays handsomely. I will dash over to the page in which the results appear, which is on page 30. Song pays 16-something to win, 1680. Nevada pays 330 to place. And the Exacta, though, pays $45. The Quinella pays 17. Let's look at page 27. We're using this race as an example. We could use any race or any series of races as that example. This is what makes our old-fashioned analysis of the matchup obsolete. And I'll be the first to admit that at one time I thought that the visual matchup factors were pertinent. I once thought that you had to be able to determine which horse was most likely to take the lead, which horse would be pressing the leader, which horse would be doing this and which horse would be doing that. Those were important. Lo and behold, with the advent of chaos physics and nonlinear math, we were able to absolutely forget about that sort of thing. Steve Davidowitz, a famous handicapping author with whom I'm sure you're familiar, says that pace is no good unless you can predict the pace of today's race. That's nonsense. But we used to try to do it, so we were just as nonsensical in our earlier ambitions as Steve was in saying that. Look on page 27 and follow with me. Here's the matchup with these five horses. You concern yourself with who's going to take the lead? Well, My Ma took the lead. Nevada was second, Extra was third, Song was fourth, and Big S was last. Now, Big S has a plus there because it ranks in the top five. Now, this graph is vital because you only get rankings on the top five. If they don't belong in the top five by category, you don't see them. Now, Song suddenly is the best late, even though it was fourth best on early. Nevada now drops to second best late, and Big S, My Man, and Extra. So Big S is in there twice. Extra is in there twice so far. Now we come to the total, the composite of early and late. Nevada earns the top total ranking. Song, the eventual winner, second best total ranking. My Man, Extra, and Big S. Big S is in there again with My Man. Now we come to the difference between early and late, that hidden fraction, which we call hidden fraction, but we also put the TT there because that's the euphemism for hidden fraction, turn time. Big S, who hasn't shown up very well has the best turn time. So now, if you're doing the visuals, you say, oh boy, look at that big S, he made that big turn time move, we got to watch out for him. The matchup is right in front of you, folks. Yes, he made a song, the winner is second. Nevada's first, I mean, big S is first, Nevada's second, pardon me, I'm looking at the wrong one, turn time. My man is third, and Song is last. Song's the worst horse on turn time. Now, if we listen to those experts who say turn time is ability time, and that's all, we don't get this winner, and many other winners we won't get if we listen to these mainstream axioms. They derive from something we said, and they misquoted, misinterpreted something we said, and they said that was ability time. Turn time is not ability time. It's just there. And it's indicative when it's indicative. Now we go to factor X. Big S, suddenly after making that move on the turn, his combination of first and last fraction is zero. He's out. Song is number one. He wins the race. Nevada, the favorite, is second. Now you come over to Hidden Energy, which is very, very important. This is a 9-furlong race. It becomes even more important. Nevada's first, Song is second, and then in descending order. Same rankings in Factor W, which is a intricate combination, not average, as it was called by one author. Factor W is an interesting combination of early and sustained pace. Nevada's first, Song is second. Now let's do another race. You do it, because this race comes up a little later. This is another race where there was a nice payoff. Take a look at it yourself. The winner, we're starting here down at the bottom half of this page with EPR, the winner is third. The name is Court. You'll see this in detail in another race. The winner rises to first best CPR. The place horse starts showing itself here. Doesn't show itself until CPR, where it's last. Then it becomes number one hidden fraction. This is a case where they're making that turn time move is important for the place horse. The winner is second. The winner and the place horse are one and two on Hidden Energy, and the winner is number one on Factor W, and we don't find the place horse. This is the matchup. You don't have to say so-and-so is going to take the lead, so-and-so is going to do this, and because he did this, he did this, he did that, he did that, and therefore, not true. There's your matchup right there. Now, the beautiful part about this, these are not linear rankings. Go back to that first race. Notice the closeness, an EPR, the closeness of that line of between my MA and Nevada. It's not that one and two are they're one apart, they are very, very close. Look at Song and Nevada in LPR. They're exactly tied. No distinction. Look on CPR, you will see a wider gap. They're still 1, 2, 3, 4 by linear distinction, but they're not one apart as is 1, 2, 3, 4. Notice the vast difference between them. Extra and Song, for instance, on TT Hidden Fraction, don't have any line at all. They get a little closer when it comes to Factor X. They're farther apart on Hidden and Factor W. It's the proximity of one line to the other that is nonlinear. They're not one apart. They are that much apart as distinguished by the length of their line. That makes a lot of difference instead of ranking them. This one's going to be first, this is going to be second. First by how much? Second over the third by how much? It's the difference. You don't measure a horse race by a length. The horse wins by a length. The next horse loses by one length. The third horse is behind another length. The fourth behind another length. No. Blink your eye. Blink your eye at the finish of a race, and you'll see how close they were together. That's nonlinear. They're not one apart. They only rank one apart. My director has just informed me that we've gone almost 2 full hours
on this tape, and we still have quite a few pages from this workbook to go, which we'll start from this point. We get left off on page 27. We'll start discussing from page 28 on our next tape, which will also wind up the session with quite a bit of time on putting it all together. Putting it all together, and that includes the mental, psychological, philosophical attitude that you must have in order to make all this work. That'll be our third tape. But before we conclude this one, I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of facts that came to us in the mail this very morning. First, a client from Texas who was playing off track, Northern California, among other places. Remember that $103 winner that Charles McGill got, Bay Meadows? Well, Charles had it ranked first, as you saw in the manual. But this gentleman had it ranked fourth. Instead of first, it was down at fourth on bottom line betting line. And yet he didn't bet it. He lost the race and wanted to know why. Well, why, sir, is because while you chose a different assortment of pace lines, looked at contenders differently from a subjective point of view, in a manner different from what Charles McGill did, you still got that horse ranked fourth. Now, any time, and it was projected odds of 7-2. When bottom line betting line produces a projected odds of 7-2, number four, and it pays $103.20, and you don't bet it, sir, folks, if it happens to you, there's very little I can do to help. The horse is a tremendous overlay, and it should have been a bet. The second thing we got this morning is something we receive daily, and it reads like this, very quickly. I've been finding that I have the winner in the top four 88% of the time, and then in the top five for the rest. 100% in the top five, but 88% in the top four, he says. But I have trouble deciding on which one to bet. The decision-making process of which horse to bet when you have 88% of the winners in the top four on bottom line betting line is not a mechanical problem, is not a handicapping problem, it is a psychological problem. We hope to deal with that in the next issue of this, the third tape, and we hope to deal with it in such a manner that we won't receive letters like this anymore, that people who get 88% of all winners, including big long shots, in their top four will not be betting the wrong two or the two that don't come in. It's purely a psychological problem. It's based on decision. Decision is not a handicapping situation. It's not something we can deal with numbers or mechanics. It is something we can only deal with by working on your mind. We'll do that next time. So let me leave you with something that we showed in the last tape number one, because this is what happens. People look at their favorite tree instead of viewing the entire forest. In other words, you look at something that is subjectively important to you, which includes trying to determine contenders and proper pace lines from subjective point of view, rather than accepting our directions based on a proven statistic to take the best, the last three races at a comparable distance, surface, and within limits class. If you just follow those directions, you will have the horse that one man had ranked fourth. You'll have it as another man had it, ranked first. So, we leave you for this time. Thank you for watching. We'll see you on the next tape, putting it all together. So long.